Hello, thank you guys for joining me once again. This episode is basically on you've left, especially once you've decided to leave, you've done whatever it was that you decided to do, and that initial, even few days, few months afterwards. And to me, the quicker you get on what I'm going to speak about once you leave, the better off. So it's going to be covering reporting your abuser. It's going to be covering getting a restraining order and divorcing the abuser. So it's got a lot of good information that I've been able to accumulate and kind of put together. I've based it again off of some of the missteps that I took that I wish I would have done differently, along with some steps that I did do. So, first of all, I want to give you guys a couple of resources. I don't always do this, but I want to make sure that I do put these things out. The National Resource Center on Domestic Violence, their number is 800-537-2238. They are an excellent resource. All of these are going to be national, which means, you know, obviously anywhere in the United States. We also have National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 800-799-7233, as well as National Dating Abuse Hotline, 866-331-9474. Okay, and on that, we are going to just get right into it. So like I said, first, once you leave, you want to report the abuse. That is something I did not do. I probably should have. Unfortunately for me, I had a severe anxiety, if nothing else, when it came to law enforcement, which was brought on based on some of the abuse that I had received. So, like I said, you want to report it, then you'll be getting the restraining order, and then your divorce, okay? But when you go and you have decided that you're leaving, you want to make a plan. This is an extremely dangerous time when you are leaving, because they find out you're leaving, it's not going to go like a regular breakup. That's why you have to leave where you make a plan. I've never had to make a plan on how I was going to escape a relationship I had ever had before until this one. You know, took the cake. The plans are aimed basically at securing you and your family safety. So you want to make sure that, you know, you've thought about all the different things from your, even something as small, some people may look at it as being small, but you want to make sure that you have the documents, the birth certificates, the social security numbers, the credit cards, the bank card, things like that, that this person does not have access to. So if they had access to your bank account, you're going to have to get them either off of it or just open up a new account. You want to have these things in place. You want to have these documents up to and including yours. Do not forget about yours. I know as caretakers and everything else, we always have a tendency to take care of somebody else first. But this is going to be sort of like, you know, when you're riding on an airplane and that oxygen mask comes down. They tell you, take care of yourself and then take care of your children or whoever's around you that needs help. You know, same premise as far as this goes. Because if you don't get out, the little ones aren't going to get out. Or your extended family, whoever's staying with you, things like this. Okay. And whether you have little ones or adult children, whatever the case is, without your safety getting out, they're also affected by that. So just make sure that you have things like a go bag, okay, if you will, that has clothes, it's got keys, it's got, you know, things like that, okay? Have a place for you guys to actually land that he has no idea where it is. The least that they know or are aware of where you might wind up, the better off you'll be, you know? The other thing is you want to mentally prepare for a divorce, okay? This is not something... By the time you leave, yes, at least for me, by the time I left, I knew I was going to go through divorce proceedings. But as far as mentally preparing for the fact, you're going to have to face your abuser in court. And that is extremely hard. It's a lot harder than one may think, especially if you've never been through any kind of court anything, okay? The court systems are very stressful, and it is extremely mentally draining, especially because you are dealing with your abuser. And you can expect, especially a narcissist, if you have an abuser who is a narcissist, they're going to lie. And most abusers as well, they're just going to lie. They're going to try to paint the picture like they were the victim and you were the assaulter. Okay, or that you're an extremist, or that you're bipolar, or they're going to pull all kinds of stuff out. Okay, they may even claim that you abuse children, things like this. Okay, that's what they do, you know, because you got to remember, especially for a narcissist, one of their worst things that you can do is have them lose control. You've left that. Threw their world into you, threw a monkey wrench into what their world was, you know. And they're not used to not having control like that. They're used to being the puppet master with you. That's why they were abusing you and why they got away with it for so long, especially if you were one like myself who didn't report it, you know, who didn't call the cops all the time. I never called the cops on mine, ever, even though I had pictures and I had journaled things on the spot at the moment. Well, damn near at the moment. You can't do it while he's, you know, assaulting you. But I always, especially once I started documenting stuff, and I realized that I was being abused, that was something that I did do. I journaled it. I kept it away from him. You know, I kept it in, you know, it was dangerous at times when I really look back at it, because it'd be, you know, on one of my electronic devices, you know, he could have hacked into it and found it. You know, I had recordings of conversations and arguments that we had. Granted, I didn't tell him I was recording. I just always told him, if I was to record you, da da da. But he always told me other things like, well, if you do, then you know that you're recording, so you're going to act different, da da da. But I digress. I'm sorry. But like I said, expect them to lie in the court. They're going to try to cheat, charm that judge into believing that they are the good guy and they're being taken advantage of through the court system, okay? And obviously that's not what's going on. But you got to remember, part of the court system, they are trying to find the fairest way to spread out whatever needs, like especially in the divorce situation. The end game for that judge, it isn't whether to say, yes, you can get approved for your divorce or not. Everyone pretty much is going to get it, especially in certain states, okay? I don't know about, like, Midwest states and things like that, okay? But I know there are particular states, especially on the West Coast, because that's where I come from. So, they're no fault, you know, no fault divorces. Those are, you know, hey, you're going to get a divorce if somebody files, okay? It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of, you know, getting everything ironed out and hashed out, okay? But as I was told, even during mine with the judge that we had, He said his whole thing is he has to try to find a way to basically take a look at our assets, take a look at what is owed, and because both of those things are just as equally as important. And it's a matter of him trying to find the fairest way by basically going 50-50 on it all, okay? That's the fairest, and I agree, it is the fairest way. But unfortunately, when there's abuse involved, you know, they have ways of taking advantage, okay? Like in my situation, I was basically told that since I was employed and he did not have a job at the time, I got the lovely honor of paying off debts, okay? You know, it works out that way sometimes. But to me, the godsend was, hey, I got my divorce, okay? That was the bottom line. And I was lucky enough, I didn't have to face him. All I had to do was hear his voice over phone. Because during COVID, especially during the heavier points of COVID, and certain areas were still very much, you don't have to come in, okay? And I lucked out on that, you know. It even on the end, it was supposed to be, we were supposed to have like a video type thing, and apparently neither one of us checked in with video. I did not. You know, luckily I couldn't, for some reason it wasn't working well for me. So I wound up having to do a phone call, you know, and I'll be honest, that was a lot easier than me having to see that face. But one thing, and at least for me, I practiced gray rocking for at least, I want to say a year to maybe even upwards to 2 years before I left. So there were times when he would just be lambasting me and just degrading and just, ugh, his yuck, okay? We all know it when we've lived through it. Like I say, you know, when you know, okay? And I would gray rock it, you know? And it would piss him the fuck off. Excuse me, but, you know, that's what it did. You know, it lit a fire to his fury about, you know, whatever, okay? Because he felt like I should be answering the way that he wanted me to, or the way that I used to, you know? And there was a clear, distinct difference once I started learning things. And again, that is key. You have to educate yourself while you're even planning or looking at or just discovering what's going on. You have to continue that education. To this day, I continue my education on this stuff because there are certain things that I didn't have to deal with. Like for instance, there wasn't custody of a small child that I had to deal with. My child was much older. He was over the age. He was no longer a minor. You know, one, I knew that would be one heck of a bear for me to have ever even contemplate the idea. Because anytime a thought came to me when he was younger, I was so super scared that I would be deemed as unfit because he had me so convinced that I was, you know, barely making it as a mom. And come to find out, to be perfectly honest, those of us who have been abused, we are rock star mothers, okay? Because we don't want the abuse to impact them. And part of it, yes, we believe that, you know, it's not, at least for me, I didn't think that he was being abused. I thought it just went to me. And come to find out, I was wrong. But again, we try to do everything we can to protect our children. And that is one of the biggest roles and jobs of a parent. Plain and simple. You're living with a bad guy in your home that is the father of your children, who lives in the home has full access to everything, everyone, and all their information and everything else. Okay? Not easy to do. But Gray Rocket, I'm telling you, you have to Gray. Do not give them the satisfaction of getting a reaction out of you during court. That will only look bad on you. And it's only going to be turned against you. It's going to be turned that you are, like some of the things that he's saying, see, she is crazy, okay? She loses it over, you know, all because I'm saying whatever, okay? You, everything you can to keep yourself as in control as possible. Let them say whatever they're going to say. When it's your turn to speak, that's when you speak. You know, and speak to the judge. You don't need to speak to them. That's not what you're there for. You guys, both parties are there to speak to the judge so the judge can figure out what he needs to do or she needs to do. The other thing is document everything. The sooner you get on documenting things, from taking pictures to journaling out to even recording your journal entries, whatever it is, you need to, any way you can document things, from financial, from if you're also including with pet abuse, take pictures, keep records of vet visits, things like this, you know, anything and everything that you could possibly get. Eyewitness statements, wonderful thing to get. That, you know, because it's not just hearsay. It's not you versus him. It's you versus him. But now you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people that have written statements or have come to the court and given their statement, you know. And it weighs heavily because what they are telling the court from their eyewitness account only verifies what you've been saying. Just like you come into court and you have pictures, it's verifying what you talk about. And on those pictures, you have timestamps, which has the date and everything else on there. It's an ideal form of evidence, okay? Handle these with extreme care. Do not let them loose to just anybody. Do not mishandle them. Just handle them with care, because you're gonna need them, okay? Even make a timeline. It helps to ensure like your date point is more like chronological picture that you're painting, because for the court, that's what you're doing. You're having to paint a picture of what you've been having to endure for however long you've been with this person, okay? And it doesn't mean, oh, well, it was just during our marriage point. No. If the abuse started while you were still dating, you're going to need to bring that up. And sometimes, like for myself, like I said, there was a lot of years involved. And it was, you know, I had to go back to the beginning when the first time this took place. And I had to, you know, you're going to have to relive this to some point. This is also why during this time, it is very important, once you leave, get into therapy. You've got to find a way to do that. You know, whether your insurance covers it, or, you know, even if it's a once a month thing where you're able to hook up with a therapist, you need something. Even if it's clergy, if it's a friend who will not give you judgment, but somebody who at least is somewhat savvy on the psychological end of some of this, because this isn't easy stuff. This is very difficult, and it's very difficult to relive it, because that's what you're going to have to do. But again, just please do not mishandle these documents that you are, you know, putting together, okay? You want to make sure that it's all like saved in one spot, or, you know, something where it's secure, okay? The other thing you're going to want to do is find an attorney as soon as you can. I believe that was one of my biggest mistakes, was I didn't do that at all. Well, I looked, but then I found out how expensive they were, and I didn't have that kind of cash, I'll be honest. So I did everything myself. I didn't report, and I should have, but I didn't. But I did file a restraining order, and I got the divorce. Both those things were done completely and solely on my own. Not an easy task, especially when you are going through this. And for me, he was stalking me at the stage, especially when I had filed for the restraining order. I was deathly afraid he was going to find me, which he eventually did. But it's scary. You and your family's life is in danger, and you know it. You know, expect them to stalk you. That's expected. I'll be honest. This is just what they do. You got to think. I mean, if you wouldn't have come home one night, you know, they wouldn't have been too happy with that. You know. But really, you should have some form of legal representation. They can go through the court system and also make it a little bit easier on you, because that's not something else you're going to have to carry that burden. At least you know, hey, somebody else has that. I just got to show up and retell whatever it was that took place. You know, the next stage, like I said, filing a restraining order, ASAP. I did that, I do believe, not the day that I left, because, you know, I had traveling to do. But once I got to the destination where I was getting, I think within like 24, 48 hours, I had gone and filed for my restraining order. And within 24 hours, I had a court date. So it will happen quick. Once you file it and it's accepted, it's going to be fast. Okay. So, like I said, I did that before I filed for my divorce. So, but the divorce, within a divorce, you'll also have, at least in certain states, you have a restraining order already in there. I'm going to tell you, this is going to go on to another episode, because there is still quite a bit of information I'm going to have to go through. And I try not to have my episodes go over 30 minutes. So, I just want you guys to be aware. So, but again, with the filing of the restraining order, you want to bring forward all of your evidence. So all your pictures, all your eyewitness accounts, your videos, the financial records, the doctor visits with, you know, whether it's vet visits, medical doctors, dentists, things like this, whatever it was that is some form of proof of what your damage that you were caused by their hands, you want that, okay? Heck, if you were smart enough to go through therapy before you left this person, and during your therapy appointments, you spoke about your abuse, you want those, most definitely. Like I said, all these things verify what took place, okay? And again, it helps paint that picture for the court, so they have more of a broader scope of what the heck took place in this situation. And you can also bring, criminal charges can be brought if you want. I was approached the day that I went to court. I got out of court. I was given my temporary restraining order, which was a year. I was approached by one of the people at court. But they were through a nonprofit. I guess they were there. And they asked me, and I said, "Oh, no. I wound up giving some other excuse for his behavior once again. You know, we all know we do this. That basically, oh, he was just being a bad boy, and you know, he just didn't know better. I don't want to cause that much problem. I just want to get away from it." You know, one of my biggest regrets. I think I should have done that. And if anybody ever asked me, hey, that would definitely be one of them. You know, that and not getting an attorney. So, and I am going to end it on that note. We're going to follow up the next episode with preparing for court, because that is very important. And there's kind of quite a few steps to that. So, again, I just want to thank you guys for joining me on this episode. Like I said, this is some very important stuff. You know, it's, you've left, now what? You know, and it's literally, I feel like every stage is almost like that. It's like, okay, I've realized I'm being abused. Now what? You know, okay, I've decided I'm going to leave them. Now what? Okay, I have a plan together. I know where I'm going to land. I know I've got a job in place, or, you know, I'm going to go no matter what because I got the cash in my pocket to do it now, you know, and there's an urgency about that. And for me, that's, you know, how I wound up doing it. You know, I luckily came by, I had some school money coming. And if it wasn't for that, I don't know when or if I would have been able to get out of there. Because like I said, he was only getting worse. And the older they get, especially with narcissists, the worse their behavior becomes, the more damaging it becomes. And it was. It was becoming a lot more violent. It was becoming a lot more intense than it ever had been. Where I felt like I was spinning out of control. Part of it was his even worse behavior was coming to a head as the same point that I was realizing I was being abused. So there was a lot kind of combusting all at the same time. So, but really, it's, this is some very important things. And, like I said, you've left. Now what? You know, and there's some very important steps that need to be taken place to ensure, again, just like when you made your plan to leave, you were trying to ensure safety for you and your family. This, again, is the same thing. So, like I said, this is a very dangerous time, but you will get through it. I promise. It just... You have to stick to it. You've got to, you know, do whatever it is that you can to help yourself and your family to get away from this monster that you lived with. You know, this monster that, you know, all of a sudden showed up in your house and you did not invite them in. You didn't invite the monster. When you invited the monster and you said your I do's or yes, I love you or anything else, all that romancing and all the charming they did, that nice guy stuff was all in the very beginning. And that's when you agreed to your relationship, was when that person was somebody totally different than they are now or were when you left, you know, depending on what stage you're at. But again, it's very important stuff and I will continue. So please be on the lookout because I'm going to try to get it out fairly quickly. So again, thank you guys for joining me, and I will see you guys at the next episode. Have a wonderful day.